Perek Bez, Mishnah Dalet. Ha'osa sukaso bein ha'ilanos. If a person builds a sukkah between the trees, ha'ilanos defanos la, and the trees serve as the wall. Avalo somech es haschach alein el almotos. So what's the case? If you look at the image attached in the email, it describes it the best. You have a bunch of trees, right, in the shape of like a three walls. And he builds a sukkah on these motos, on these poles. If you look closely at the image, there are poles that are holding up his layer of schach. Okay? So he's got 1, 2, 3, 4 poles holding up a beautiful layer of schach, but the poles are just poles. There's no walls to them. So this guy does, he says, hey, you know what? I've got all these trees around me. Let the trees be so close to the poles that the trees will serve as the walls. So here, it's kshera, the sukkah is kosher. We're not concerned that you're going to use the tree. You could use the sukkah on Yom Tov, and it's totally fine. Because here, if you remove the trees out of the way, sukkah's not going anywhere. The sukkah would be invalid because it has no more walls, but the sukkah is still sturdy. It's not dependent on the trees for the support. So therefore, the trees are only serving as, you know, as a cover-up for the wall. And therefore, if that's the case, you could use a sukkah even on Yom Tov. There's no concern now that you can start breaking branches. Because again, it's different than yesterday's Mishnayas. Yesterday we were discussing cases where it was dependent on the tree. If you remove the tree, the sukkah will collapse. So there you can only go into on Chol HaMoed, not on Yom Tov, unless you break a branch. Whereas here, you have your posts, it's holding up the schach. It says you have invalid walls without the trees around it. So with the trees around it, it completes the wall. And therefore you could go into it even on Yom Tov itself, not concerned you break any branches. And they also explain over here that even when you do have trees that are surrounding the poles, it's also talking about a case where you stuffed up, you know, it's just that the trees have spaces also between its branches. It's not completely flush. So it's talking about a case where you stuffed it up with all sorts of branches and straw, and you tied it very strong so that a common wind, a ruach betzuya, cannot move it, because that's the bar. You have to have the walls have to be strong enough that a common wind on dry land won't move it. So assuming that you tied the branches and you tied it up with straw and you completed all the holes and you tied it in a way that it won't move from a common wind, then the sukkah is going to be kosher. Okay, so that's the first case. Next, shluchei mitzvah. If a person is sent to do a mitzvah, for example, he's going to go greet his rabbi, or he's going to go do pidyon shvuyim, he's going to redeem Jewish prisoners from jail. Whatever he's doing, beturin min ha-sukkah, he is exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah, from the concept of a osik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. One who is performing one mitzvah is exempt from the other mitzvah. And they bring down over here, even at the time when he is camping at night, right? Or when the day when he's just resting, maybe then he's chayv in the sukkah, he's obligated in the sukkah because he's not traveling at that second. And the lach is that no, even then he's exempt because it's all part of his journey. And therefore, if he's performing one mitzvah, he's exempt from doing another mitzvah. They bring down the Mordechai that explains that even when he's going to sleep at night, he's not traveling. The mere fact that he can get a good night's rest and he doesn't have to start searching for a sukkah is all part of the mitzvah. So the next day, he could be osik in the mitzvah that he's performing, you know, with strength. Whereas if he starts looking for a sukkah, he won't have strength the next day to go do whatever mitzvah he was doing. So once you're in motion to do a mitzvah, then you're going to be exempt from another mitzvah, regardless of whether you're traveling, whether you're stopping, because it's all part of the trip. And therefore, if a person is going to go do, you know, redeem Jewish prisoners from jail, for example, it's a mitzvah, he'll be exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. Other commentaries say that, you know, you're only exempt from another mitzvah if it's impossible to do that mitzvah while you're doing this mitzvah. That's what other commentaries explain. But this first commentary, meaning according to the second commentary, you'd be exempt from the second mitzvah if it was impossible to do it. But if it was possible, then you should do it. Meaning, according to the second opinion, if as you're traveling, you stop for a break, so then go into a sukkah then, according to this opinion. Right? You're not exempt anymore, because when you're traveling, you're exempt, but not when you stop. Whereas the first opinion holds that even when you stop, you're still exempt from the sukkah, because it's all part of your journey, it's all one trip. So two different ways to learn this, and that's the rule regarding when who's osik in one mitzvah, he's performing one mitzvah, he'd be exempt from the other mitzvah. Cholin, if you have a sick person, even if he's not deathly sick, he's just regularly sick, right? He's got a headache, but it bothers him, it irks him. Umisham shan, and those that service the ill person, beturim in a sukkah, they are exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah, because the Torah says, "Besukkah teishu, you should sit in your sukkah, teishu ke'en tediru, sit in your sukkah like you sit in your house." And when a person's sick at home, he'll rest in bed, he'll be in a comfortable place where he's not going to get more sick, right? Whereas if you're going to be in the sukkah, you might be exposed to the outside and you might not feel well. So if you're sick, then just like in your house, you go for a very comfortable and just, comfortable room. So over here, you'd be exempt from the sukkah and you could lay down in bed at home in order for your illness to go away. And this applies also to the people that are serving you as a sick person. They're taking care of you, the nurses, whoever it is, they'd be exempt from sukkah as well. And lastly, Ochlin v'shosin arai chos sukkah. You can eat and drink, a temporary eating and drinking outside the sukkah. Meaning something small just to, get rid of your hunger pains. The Gemara explains like the size of an egg, which is a food which is eaten in like one gulp. So the Rambam writes that you could even drink water and fruit, and things that are like a shahakol. You could do that out of the sukkah. And the idea here is that generally you have to eat and sleep and drink, in the sukkah. But if the eating and the drinking, maybe we have a chila shtiyah and shena, eating, sleeping, and drinking is the basics. But regards to eating and drinking, if it's like a temporary eating and drinking, something which is a small or something that's like things that are like a shahakol or a ha'etz, those things you could eat outside the sukkah. But of course, one who eats them in the sukkah, then it's a praiseworthy thing to do. So that wraps up Mishnah Daled. So just to clarify, the foods that you'd be eating the size of an egg would be foods like a mezonos, more foods that are more, more official, more koveya. But things that are more like temporary, like chips or salads, ha'etz, hadama, shahak, all those kind of brachos, so those could be even more than the size of an egg because they're not really, the main foods, at least on a Torah level. So those you eat even more than the size of an egg after the sukkah, and it's perfectly okay. But of course, if you eat them in the sukkah, then it would be praiseworthy. And with that in mind, we go into a story in Mishnah Hay. So Maisa, there was a story, they brought to Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, little Masatavshel, to taste a stew. Ul Rabban Gamliel, Shteko Savos, Udli Shalmayim, and to Rabban Gamliel, they bought two dates and a bucket of water, right? And for Amru, they both said, Ha'al in the sukkah, let's go into the sukkah. So here, in both cases, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was only tasting a stew. He wasn't eating a lot. And Rabbi Gamliel was having two little dates and a cup of water. So these are the things that are like temporary foods. You can eat them after the sukkah. So why did they say go into the sukkah? Because they want to bring out over here the point that it's mishubach, it's praiseworthy. You don't have to, but if you do it, it's a beautiful thing. The Bartanur explains that v'lomen adin, this is not the actual rule. El shechmir al-atman, they were stringent upon themselves. So we learn out from here that a person who's stringent to eat like temporary foods, even in the sukkah, it's a praiseworthy thing. Ooh, kishenastu lo Rabbi Tzadok, when they gave to Rabbi Tzadok food, ocha pachas mikibetzi, he ate less than the size of an egg. Netola b'mabi, he took it in a cloth. V'achol chos sukkah, he ate it outside the sukkah. V'lobeach achav, he ate a bench. So what's going on over here? See here, the Bartanur explains that he took bread, for example, in a cloth. Why would he do that? The rule is that if you have bread in a cloth, you don't actually touch the bread, you don't have to wash for it. Check with your local halachic authority what the actual psak is nowadays, but at least in the Mishnah's times, it's, if you wrap the bread in cloth and you don't touch it, you don't have to do the tiyas sadaim, you don't have to wash your hands. Okay? And if you eat less than a kibetza, less than the size of an egg, you don't have to bench either. Okay? So here, it's not really a mitzvah of sukkah that we're talking about, because if it's the mitzvah of sukkah, we already mentioned earlier, you can eat, achilas arai, temporary eating after the sukkah, even if it's more than an egg. So here, the Mishnah is just bringing a different point. The Mishnah is bringing out that he ate, bread in a cloth so he didn't have to wash. He ate less than a size of an egg so he didn't have to bench, right? And he ate it after the sukkah. What does it mean after the sukkah? Meaning he's showing that you could do it after the sukkah, right? Is it better if you do it in the sukkah? Yes. But Rabbi Tzadok was just demonstrating that don't think it's a sin if you eat these foods after the sukkah. Because if it's temporary eatings, then the rule is, you know, on a ikar hadin, on a, just on the base level, you could eat out of the sukkah. And that's what Rabbi Tzadik is demonstrating for us, and then teaching us some side points as well. Whereas the first two characters in our story over here, Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, and Rabbi Gamliel, were teaching us how praiseworthy it is to eat foods that really aren't required to be in a sukkah anyway, just to show the love for the mitzvah. And that wraps up Mishnah Hay.